great and famous minister, had come to the end of a very long life in his church and was about to retire in his 80s, Dr. George Campbell Morgan. He said, when he was asked, would he do things differently? He said, if I had to do all over again, I would try to be more comforting and of more encouragement to the people that I minister to. There's a tremendous weight of truth in that, because congregations, by and large, are made up of God's people. We're so thankful for those who are not Christians and who come. But by and large, every church, the vast majority of people in attendance are Christian people. And therefore, it's understandable that the Word of God in all its wide-ranging pastures has got to have messages for them. Sometimes it's rebuke we need. Sometimes it's a G-up. Sometimes it's a reining in. But very often, given the problems and the difficulties and the burdens that people have, encouragement is something that must never be omitted by the preacher of the word. Today I want to be the means of encouragement, the bearer of encouragement to those involved in doing good. That may be in direct Christian work, evangelism, or it may just be in ordinary Christian living. People just want to do good, particularly to other people. But they have come to the time in their living that they're dispirited. They're despondent. They're dismayed. They're finding out that all the good they do, and especially, and I emphasize this, especially Christian witness and endeavoring to bring people to a saving knowledge of Christ, in all their good efforts, they're finding very little returns. And they find that, at least in their own thinking, they are being very ineffective. The reason for such discouragement is not seeing any fruit commensurate with the labor that they bestow. Well, for your encouragement, I have a great portion of Scripture, and it's found in the first verse of Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And this is what we are told there. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. So I want to talk to you for a while just now about some encouragement for the Christian who wants to do good, especially in the doing good of soul winning and evangelism. Three things from this verse and from this subject I want to draw your attention to. First of all, the task that is assigned. Cast thy bread upon the waters. Now we need to know the meaning of that phrase. First glance, you would imagine it's somebody throwing a bit of bread to the ducks in a pond. Or maybe just standing by a river and you're throwing whacks of bread into the river. And it doesn't seem to make any sense. Cast thy bread upon the water. But that's not what it's meaning. It doesn't mean that. We want to look at the meaning of it. Some people, some commentators on this verse, and there's good reason for saying it, they tell us that the picture here is, and Solomon writing the book of Ecclesiastes would know, it's a picture of a country sending its ships or the traders of a country sending its ships away to distant climes with their wares in those ships and trading and then coming back with great cargoes as a result of that. Now, Solomon would know something about that because we learn in his life, particularly in 1 Kings chapter 9 and 1 Kings 10, that he had a great navy and sent the navy overseas away for long periods of time. And of course, in Solomon's reign, he was probably the most prosperous of all kings for material wealth. Those ships came back laden. So there is the thought here of sending the ships out, of doing good, And then by and by, the cargo coming home, the returns coming home in the ships. But there's another explanation for this. The bread here is not a bit of a sliced loaf or a bit of bread as you and I know it. They wouldn't have had sliced loaves in those days. But it's bread corn. It's seed from which bread comes eventually. You have it in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 28, where bread corn is mentioned. And the thought is that these rivers, particularly the Nile, the river Nile, but any river for that matter, maybe nearer to Solomon, whenever they overflowed their banks and the lands all around became inundated with the water, people then would get out on their boats, that is the people whose fields were near the river, they would bring the precious seed with them, bread corn with them, and whenever the waters were receding, they would sow their seed there. And then by and by, there would come the harvest. And I must confess that that is a picture that's very special with regard to evangelistic witness. But that, my dear friend, is the meaning of the task. You and I, we need to start casting the bread corn of our works and our service for God. But what are the means of this? That's the meaning. But what means? How can we cast our bread upon the waters? Well, first of all, by our actions. The Bible says in Galatians 6 and 10, while we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So the Christian should be a do-gooder. This is exactly what Solomon is saying here. Cast thy bread upon the waters. Paul takes it up centuries later, and he says, while you have the opportunity, do good. Our actions. Kindness to others, for instance. Instead of carping, being sour, bitter, and critical, why not be kind to them? Couldn't help smiling at this, reading this last night in America in 1975. There was a human kindness week in a certain city. And there was a great big center that they all had to resort to. And there was a government official walking down the city, and he was lit on by a company of boys that they were at odds with him. And they took out a knife to him and stabbed him in the eye. And the man cried out for help. And nobody would come to him. And he had to stagger to the aid center where he could get first aid for his eye. The people believed in human kindness, all right, but they never practiced it. We may smile. Are we the same? Oh, yes, it's a lovely virtue being kind to people. But we don't practice it. Rather, we get raw and we get offensive and we get critical. Get the heckles up at them. That's not casting our bread upon the waters. Yes, there's our actions, but there's also our speech. Now, you know the power of words. You've seen it in everyday life. A mum may sing a lullaby to a child to try to get the child to sleep. And those soothing words of her voice will eventually put the little one over to sleep. Or people who use words in an excitable way, they can stir up mobs to violence. Or if there are people who are eloquent, they can call armies to follow them. They can call people to espouse their cause because of the use of words. And those who can speak words of encouragement quietly, they can be the means of great strength to people who are in great need. So this is a way of casting our bread upon the water, not only by our actions, but by our words. And then also by our stewardship, by our giving, by a generous spirit. Now, somebody once said there were three types of giving. First of all, the giving that's represented by a flint. That is, you have to hammer it before it gives anything. And with all the hammering, all it gives is just sparks and chips. And then there's a sponge. It'll give, but it has to be put under pressure and squeezed and squeezed and squeezed what it'll give. And then there's the honeycomb, that just out of its own sweetness, it exudes its honey. That's the kind of giving that God's people should be involved in. In fact, that's the kind of giving that all of us should be involved in. That which comes spontaneously and naturally because of our character and personality that the grace of God makes us and gives to us. Casting our bread upon the waters by our actions, by our speech, and by our giving. But what way are we to give? We've seen the meaning of this verse of casting our bread upon the waters, like sowing, disseminating, good works, good words, our wealth. But what way are we to do it? Well, we ought to do it copiously. That means in great profusion, plenty of it. An old man was sitting in one of the big park areas of a city, and this boy was coming walking past. He was a preacher, the boy that was walking past, and he saw this old fellow sitting on the summer seat. And he had a handful of seed in his hands and a bag beside him. And he was throwing it out, and the pigeons were coming. And the preacher noticed that the more seed the man threw on the ground, the pigeons came from all arts and parts. The more sowing that we do, the more results there are going to be. So it should be cast upon the waters copiously. It should be cast upon the waters constantly. We shouldn't back off and say, well, nobody appreciates me. I'm not being very much appreciated around here. I'll stop the good works that I'm doing. I'll not bother. Let somebody else do it. No, we've got to do it constantly. We've got to be instant in season and out of season. And we've got to cast our bread upon the waters comprehensively as well. Take in a large area. We learn in God's word, blessed are they that sow beside all waters. We should have big handfuls of seed, a big bag of seed, and we should cast that all over the place, wherever we go. No matter what we're doing, it should be in our personality. It should be in our nature by the grace of God to be wanting to help people rather than hinder them. To be wanting to be kind and gracious rather than being offensive and sharp and ragged with them. And then we ought to do it confidently. Why? Because the Bible tells us there will be a return. Give and it shall be given unto you, is what the Bible says. And my dear Christian worker, in direct Christian work, and I'm thinking of you especially when all the discouragement comes. There's no discouragement like the discouragement of an out-and-out Christian that wants to see the Lord glorified, that wants to see people converted, that wants to see God's work flourish, and does everything he or she can, and yet there seems to be no returns. You keep on casting the bread upon the waters. Keep on sowing that seed. Leave the outcome with God, as we'll see just in a moment. But cast thy bread upon the waters. Cast thy bread corn on the ground where the waters have been. Send out the ships, if you want to use that other metaphor, and expect that they'll come home again laden. In fact, that brings me just to the very next thing that I want to say. We have seen the truth here that's assigned. We've got to cast our bread upon the waters. Or rather, the task that's assigned. Look at the truth that's affirmed. Thou shalt find it. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it. No maybe, no perchance, but it's definite. It's being affirmed. You will have your returns one day. Now, not so with ordinary bread that you chuck in the water. This is why that illustration or that explanation that wasn't an explanation, that's why I gave it to show you that it's not so. If you throw bread in the water ordinarily, it's going to disintegrate or decompose. You're not going to find it's going to disappear for all time. But if we hold by this meaning that you're sowing the bread corn where the waters have been, And then with that rich soil yielding, you're going to find it again. There's going to be a harvest. That's a tremendous truth. Now, the meaning is that the casting of this seed, the disseminating of it, the spreading of it, the sowing of it, of the good that we engage in, is going to come back to us as a recompense. Now, I want you to don't lose Ecclesiastes 11, but turn over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. And it's the 38th verse. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. What a tremendous truth that is. You can see the certainty of this recompense. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Remember the similar verse, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, if you cast the seeds of care and compassion and comfort to people, the day will come, whenever you need that, you'll have that in return. You know the old saying, what goes round, comes round. Well, it's really a biblical principle. Given, it shall be given unto you. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, if we cast the seeds of generosity, then one day, whenever we are in need, it'll come back to us. Psalm 41 says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. Because whenever he is on a bed of languishing, comes to us all, the Bible says, the Lord will make his bed in his suffering. Isn't it a tremendous thing that whenever the hard times come and your back's against the wall, or maybe it's on a bed, you can say, Lord, when I had my health and strength, I served you. I tried to do my best for you. And I tried to do my best for others. Whereas whenever you lie on your bed and think of all the unkind things we said and did, it'll not be an easy pillow that our head's on then. If we're generous with people now, then we'll find that whenever we're in need, we'll find this bread after many days. If we cast the bread of seeking to honor God, the day will come that God will honor us in return. That's what he says. Them that honor me, will I honor. Cast thy bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it. Lovely little story I read as a young teenager, just wasn't too long saved, about D.L. Moody. Or rather, D.L. Moody told the story. He said there was a wee fella, 7 years of age, and he was dying. And his father was brokenhearted. And the father knelt by the bed and sought to comfort him. And the wee fella says, Daddy, don't worry about me. He says, I'm going to heaven. And he says, when I go to heaven, I'm going straight to the Lord Jesus. And I'll tell him what a great daddy you have been. Because ever from I knew, you always told me about him and tried to bring me to Jesus. That father was brokenhearted, but in the midst of it all, was there not a deep abiding joy that he had honored his son, honored his father in the life of his young son? He had honored Almighty God. What goes round will come round, but it cuts the other way. That's the good that we sow. That's the good that we cast upon the waters. But what about our evil deeds? What about our wrongdoing? What about that which is bad? If we cast harshness whenever we are in difficult situations, people will be harsh to us. If we cast stinginess whenever we are in need, there'll not be any around to help us. If we are always criticizing people whenever we are in the dock, whenever we need a friend, when we need an advocate, there'll be nobody to come to us, but the criticisms and accusations will be hurled on us. If we cast the seeds of disregard for Almighty God, Whenever we are in a corner, we need not expect the Lord to come very near us. Listen to what he said. Them that deny me, I'll deny. That's a terrible thing. We let the Lord down now in time of need. He's not going to run to our rescue very quickly. But here's something very important. God makes the returns. Cast thy bread upon the waters and thou shalt find it. God makes the returns through other people. Notice in Luke chapter 6 again, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give unto your bosom. God's the one that does it, but he uses human instrumentality. He uses men. He uses you and he uses me. Do you ever think about it that you are an instrument in God's hand? If it is in God's hand, lovely to think that when you're casting this bread upon the water, you're being an instrument in the hand of the Almighty. God works through our hands, our feet, our tongues. And the day of our need, when we have cast that bread upon the waters, and in times to come, whenever we are in need, there'll be a reciprocation. God will come through for us, through other people. One other thing before I leave this, notice that verse again in chapter 6, verse 38 of Luke. Given it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. Oh, that's far, far more in return than what was given. What the Lord is saying is, if you will sow, I'll give you far, far more than what you have sown. Shaken together. Press down. When you press something, and you ever press down clothes in a suitcase, you might think that the suitcase was never made for the amount of stuff that you're having in it, especially when you're coming home from holidays. Why, the thing's bulging. You're pressing it down. You're squeezing it down, putting your full weight on it in order to get the case closed. Get as much into it as possible and get the case closed. That's what the Lord is saying here. Whenever these measures, whatever size the measures were, what the Lord is saying is, whenever somebody's given back to you, what they'll be doing is they'll be pressing it down to get as much stuff into it as possible for your benefit, because you have given in the first place. Most of you probably have heard me tell this before, but I want to tell it again. There was a certain farm, and they were having hard times. And the family, the parents had to go into the city. And the young girl was left and said, now don't be selling anything to anybody that comes around the door, because it was a place where people always looked to pass through and sell their wares. Well, this young student came by. He was looking to sell things because he was trying to raise money to help with his university education. And the young girl came to the door and said, Dad says that we're not able to buy things today. He says, oh, that's all right. He says, well, is there any possibility of you giving me a drink of water? It was a very hot day, and the young fellow was traveling on foot. She says, surely. Oh, she says, by the way, we have lovely sweet milk here. Would you like cold sweet milk? He says, that'll be fine. And she brought him out all the milk that he could drink. Had a wee chat with her. And better the time of day. She never saw him again. Until. Some years later, that young lady had grown up. Still was quite young, but she took ill. She landed in hospital. She had to go through surgery, but thankfully, she made a great recovery and the operation was successful. And there not being any health service in those days, the bill came. The brown envelope came, and she opened it and saw the expenses, cost of the operation. She nearly fainted. She says, how is our family going to pay this? And then, within half an hour, another envelope came round. The same amount on it, but a big red mark through it, and underneath it, it said, paid in full for a glass of milk. That was the young man who was a student years before, was now a surgeon. And he remembered her and her kindness. And he did all the medical and surgical work for her free. because out of the kindness of her heart, she gave that young man what she could that day. Give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Do you remember what the Lord said? Bring all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me now and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. There's abundance. The wise man said in the Proverbs, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses burst forth with new wine. Oh, my dear friend, getting back far, far more than what was ever given. Cast thy bread upon the waters. Thou shalt find it. It's going to be a reaping time for those that are engaged in God's work. But here's the nub of the matter. We've seen the task that has been assigned and the truth that has been affirmed. Notice lastly, the time that's announced. Oh, this is the difficult part. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. And we're still waiting for it, aren't we? Now, if you take the ordinary harvest, the physical harvest, the laws of sowing and reaping take place within the year, within the 12-month period, within a matter of months. And that's the way, unless the harvest fails, it's always like that. But it's not like that in the doing of good that we are talking about. And especially in Christian service. Because we have to wait for years before we get the returns. The Lord never said that it would come instantly. He said, thou shalt find it after many days. Robert Moffat was a very famous missionary from Scotland to Africa among the tribes. Well-known missionary. And Robert Moffat came home from the steaming jungles of Africa to the furious cold of the Glasgow area in Scotland. And his purpose was to try to raise support and to raise interest among people for more missionaries to go out to Africa. He was disappointed when he came in. He was preaching from the text where the message was, this is to you, the sons of men. And he said, the congregation were nearly all women. And he said, very, very small congregation at that. Didn't seem to be very much interest. He says, well, I preached, did my best, made the appeal, and left it at that. But he says, I didn't know that night, away up in an upper part of the church, around the gallery, there was a young man working at the old type of organ they had that was like bellows that was used to work it. And he says he heard me. And when he heard me making the appeal for missionaries, he said the Lord spoke to him. And even though he was just a young teenager in his late teens, he said, if the Lord wants me, I'll be a missionary one day. He went to medical school. He became a doctor. Went out to Africa as a missionary. His name was David Livingstone. Well known. Famous in the annals of missionary lore. And yet it seemed so unpromising that night. But God gave Robert Moffat tremendous returns on a sowing of the seed in that service that night. George Mueller, a man who, if you know anything about his life, fed thousands upon thousands of orphans, built orphan homes, and never appealed for money. Wonderful answers to prayer that Mueller had. Not just in money, but in fog-bound vessels trying to get to America by a certain time and prayed that God would lift the fog. The captain respectfully laughed at him. Mueller said, get the sails ready. He says, there's not going to be any sailing. He says, there will. And sure enough, inside half an hour, the fog had lifted and Mueller got to America to keep the appointment at the time that he had arranged. But he prayed for over 60 years for a brother of his to be saved. And Mueller died and never saw him saved. But sometime after the death, Mueller's brother got wonderfully converted. After many days. We read in Galatians 6 verse 9, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Our minds of the due season is not necessarily the same as the Lord's. Now, the ordinary harvest has a due season for the different grain to be reaped throughout the year. There's always a due season. The farmer knows when that is and gets ready for it. But we just don't know when the due season is in soul-winning evangelism. But God knows. And when the due season comes, the Bible says, we shall reap. T. DeWitt Talmage tells the story of a revival that broke out in a church that he preached in at the very early part of his ministry. He says the minister of that church was a Reverend Verdon Braw. And he says he was a very discouraged man. He says he felt he was doing no good. He never saw very much fruit for his labor. Then the man died. Everybody knew that he was a good man, but they wondered why things were not happening. And Talmage says, a revival broke out in that community and in that church. And he says, out of 200 people that stood up one Sunday in the church to say they were saved, almost all of them dated their first impressions to the ministry of that man who was so discouraged. And Talmage says, my mother and father were among the converts. Thou shalt find it after many days. Brethren and sisters, we're going to reap in this church. There'll be a reaping someday, a vast reaping for all the sowing that's being done. And that's why Paul wrote to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, he says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always casting your bread upon the waters, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Don't lose heart, my dear brother and sister. Don't be thinking, well, it's time for me to stop teaching the children. Time for me to stop working with the elderly. Time for me to stop giving out tracts. Time for me to stop preaching the gospel. Time for me to stop getting involved in God's work. Now, I'm not seeing much happening. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You'll have your returns. You'll find it after many days. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Shall we pray together?